Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. This week, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission officially got three new commissioners, just as the agency is set to face some thorny issues. The Senate confirmed all three of President Joe Biden's picks, Democrats David Rosner and Judy Chang, along with Republican Lindsey C. This is a big deal because it's the first time in a couple years that FERC will have all five commissioner spots filled. And the agency has a lot on its plate. It's facing important and contentious issues related to oil, gas, LNG, the power grid, and renewables. So today, I chat with Politico's Catherine Morehouse about these new commissioners and what's next for FERC now that it has a full five. It's Friday, June 14th.
So all three nominees were officially confirmed this week by the Senate, which is a huge relief to pretty much any, really all industries that do business in front of FERC. So David Rosner, FERC staffer, one of the Democratic nominees, was the first vote, and he cleared in a 62-26 vote. Lindsey C. was next, a Republican pick. She passed 83-12. And then finally, Judy Chang passed 63-33. So clearly, Chang had the most opposition, really, from Republican lawmakers. That's presumably just because she is the most progressive of the three nominees. And she did face some of the most pointed lines of questioning during her confirmation hearings from Republicans, mostly related to her stance on liquefied natural gas and where she might fall there. But overall, these nominees had relatively widespread support, and they were seen at the end of the day as a politically palatable package that could pass the Senate as a package. And that's really exactly what we saw happen here.
Yeah, that's interesting that there wasn't a lot of political fighting over these nominees, even though, of course, FERC itself has actually become elevated and there's a lot of attention on it. So what do you attribute that to? And did we actually learn anything new about the commissioners during this process?
Yeah, I think Senator Barrasso, a Republican from Wyoming, ranking member of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, summarized the overall sentiment best when he said, you know, I don't agree with all of these candidates about every issue, but I do think the most important thing to me is to have a full FERC. And he did believe that all three nominees were strongly qualified and essentially that they will create an overall balanced commission. And with that said, just in terms of the candidates themselves, I don't think you could make the argument that these candidates are necessarily apolitical picks, especially Judy Chang and Lindsey C. Chang worked for a Republican, but in the very blue state of Massachusetts on climate issues and has very explicit and public stances on her belief in moving aggressively toward renewables and fighting climate change. And Lindsey C., on the other hand, literally fought the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan in EPA versus West Virginia. And that's interesting timing since we are once again seeing Republicans fight a Democratic administration's climate rule aimed at curbing power plant emissions. Rosner is the cleanest slate in terms of his politics because he's been on FERC staff for several years, which is just inherently more of a behind-the-scenes job. But basically, in terms of why these candidates, who again aren't necessarily the most apolitical, why these candidates didn't get more pushback, I can't really say. I wasn't privy to the political discussions on how hard to push or not push. But what I can say is that there are clear reasons on why Democrats and why Republicans wouldn't want to see FERC cease operating altogether. It would be terrible for the LNG industry, which would make Republicans mad. And it would be terrible for the renewables industry, which would upset Democrats. It's a little bit hard in this day and age to attribute it to just common sense prevailed. But I do think that there was a recognition that an overly political fight here over this important but still relatively obscure agency was not worth the consequences of essentially freezing this very important regulatory mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And FERC, of course, hasn't had a full slate of commissioners since former chair Richard Glick left at the end of 2022. And you write in your story that these new commissioners could really make or break the agency's efforts to take on some key challenges they're facing, transmission, LNG. You know, we've talked a lot about those. So remind us maybe a little bit more specifically what's on the agenda and why this moment is so important.
Yeah, so I'll start with transmission. FERC passed this sweeping transmission rule that we've talked a lot about last month, and it passed on a 2-to-1 basis with Phillips and Commissioner Allison Clements, who is leaving, voting in favor, and Commissioner Mark Christie, who is staying on the commission, strongly opposed. So that's now you all of a sudden have a split vote and three new people coming in. And that rule passed, but now that rule, like any big rule that the commission puts out, is facing challenges from states, challenges from utilities, which the commission will need to make decisions on. The rule is also going to enter its compliance stage, which sounds very wonky, but that's ultimately how utilities and grid operators around the country are going to decide to implement this rule. So these new commissioners will have a huge impact there. And FERC is also poised to take action on grid-enhancing technologies. They've made a lot of promises about potentially upping incentives for those. They've also talked about interregional transmission, improving connections between different regions. And then the other really critical issue is just this ongoing opposition over their LNG policies. You see Republicans calling for FERC to approve projects faster. You have environmentalists saying FERC should slow down and assess the environmental and pollution and climate impacts of these projects more carefully. So FERC just really is facing a lot of issues that all of a sudden these three new commissioners are going to have really an outsized impact on because they are the new majority.
Right. And what are you watching out for next as these commissioners, you know, get set to join FERC after they're officially sworn in? We don't really know much about how they'll come down on the issues, as we kind of discussed, given how tight-lipped they need to be during the confirmation process, right? So I assume there's a lot you're looking out for.
Oh, yeah. The nomination process is just, it's so fraught with landmines that you tend to see these nominees really tiptoe around controversial issues and stick to the same script. So you don't really get a full sense of the nuances and the full spectrum of their opinions on some of the more contentious issues until they start filing dissents. And it does take time for commissioners to get up to speed and absorb just so much information. But what I'll be watching for sure is the first kinds of dissents and separate statements on some of these topics. That's where you really start to get a sense of what these commissioners believe and where they're really going to push back or have a strong stance that they won't waver on. I would say one of the biggest examples of this that I'll be keeping an eye out for is LNG. For the past several years, you've always had at least one commissioner who is basically issues a dissent on almost every LNG certificate. It was former FERC chair and former Commissioner Richard Glick before. You saw Commissioner Allison Clements really take up the helm there. And these commissioners are really continuing to make the argument that FERC needs to weigh the environmental and local pollution and climate impacts of these LNG facilities more carefully. So will Chang or Rosner pick up where Clements left off there? We probably won't know until the commission's first action or first couple actions on a new project with all five commissioners. So that's the kind of thing I'll be watching out for.
Also, presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump delivered a campaign-style energy address during a day of meetings with congressional Republicans on Thursday. That's what Politico's Kelsey Tamburino and I learned after talking with more than half a dozen lawmakers who described Trump's meetings with the House GOP and then with Senate Republicans. Trump talked about trademark themes like, quote, drill, baby, drill, and also pledging to reverse Biden administration policies he says hamper fossil fuel development and favor electric vehicles. We also learned Trump's remarks were light on policy details, and he didn't directly address his interest in repealing the Inflation Reduction Act. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Nirmal Malaikal is the podcast producer. Annie Reese edited the podcast this week. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back on Monday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron, who is innovating to help responsibly meet rising energy demand across their U.S. operations, like at their Gulf of Mexico facilities, which are some of the world's lowest carbon intensity operations, helping supply energy that's affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/meetingdemand.